Washington says Israel's supposed settlement freeze will be on agenda during the upcoming Dari talks between Tel Aviv and the Palestinian Authority.
Well, the U.S. State Department spokesman says the two sides will discuss the possibility of what he calls extending or ending Israel's moratorium on settlement expansions. Philip J. Crowley says the settlements are an important issue that's expected to be addressed within the context of negotiations. The comments came a day after the acting Palestinian Authority chief warned that the renewal of settlement activities will derail the talks. Israel has continued settlement expansions despite the supposed moratorium. Now the Israeli Prime Minister has announced that the settlement freeze will not be renewed. The U.S. brokered talks are slated to be held in early September.
You're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. Weather forecasts suggest more rainfall in the flooded areas in Pakistan's northwest. At least 20 people die as an American drone attacks tribal areas in northwestern Pakistan. And the US says its planned troop withdrawal from Afghanistan next year is not a departure.
Stay tuned for coming up right after this is Ramadan in Gaza. We'll bring you the details shortly. Don't go away. A survey in Lebanon shows that Lebanese are losing trust in the International Tribunal and the assassination of former Premier Rafiq al-Hariri. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh talked to people in the streets of Beirut to see what they think.
Lebanon is still reeling from the repercussions of the 2005 assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri and the establishment of an international court to investigate the case. But it seems not many people put their trust in the tribunal. According to a survey conducted by the Lebanese consulting center Information International, published in the daily As-Safir, some 60% of the sample of respondents considered that the special tribunal for Lebanon was politicized, whereas 20% thought it was fair and the rest were neutral. People were also asked if they were convinced with the documents which Secretary General of Hezbollah Said Hassan Nasrallah provided on August the 9th, giving evidence that Israel. We asked the people at the center how the results had changed over the past few years.
So as we can see here, the decrease in the percent of accusing the joint Lebanese and Syrian bodies that started with 30%, 50, 40, and it scored 0% in the current poll, as compared to an increase in the percent of accusing the Israeli intelligence of being behind the assassination of the former MP Rafiq Hariri.
Sayed Nasrallah had provided footage intercepted from what he said were Israeli surveillance planes of the site of the 2005 assassination of Rafiq Hariri prior to the explosion, saying it could be indicative of Israel's involvement in his death. But Israel has denied any role in the incident. After the assassination of late Premier Rafiq Hariri in 2005, Lebanon was caught in political mayhem, and Lebanese were divided on one main question: who killed Rafiq Hariri? But now, 5 years on, more eyes in Lebanon are turning towards Israel as a probable suspect in the murder of Rafiq Hariri. People on the streets of Beirut seem to have become more skeptical about the fairness of the international investigation.
And I don't have any information about that.
We'd have to wait until the final accusation act and then the final verdict of the tribunal to find out if it was politicized or not.
As long as they keep Israel out of it, they are doing it wrong. Hariri was killed by his enemies.
Hezbollah has described the tribunal as an Israeli project and has warned that it will not accept indictment of its members. Now, Lebanese fear that any future indictment could cause more division in the country. Mariam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy's recent remarks against immigrants in his country has been slammed by both the right and the left. Former Prime Minister Dominique de Villepin says he believes Sarkozy has violated France's constitution, this by treating foreign-born citizens differently from natives. Villepin has accused Sarkozy of having committed a, quote, moral fault and exposing France to national indignity. And from the left, former socialist premier Lionel Jospin has also criticized Sarkozy for his remarks. In a racially tinged move, Sarkozy has blamed immigrants for crime in France. He's also pledged to strip some foreign-born criminals of French nationality.
This week, it's the turn of the Bulgarian Roma. After repatriating about 86 Romanian gypsies last week, this Wednesday France is going to deport 13 Roma people who says France owes Sofia an explanation.
Those people that you are deporting, what is your problem with them? Not just in general, but with every single one of them. How exactly has each one of them broken the law?
Paris has justified its move by pointing out that these Roma people have been living in illegal, unsanitary camps, threatening France's national security and public health. The Roma in Sofia that we spoke to said they're not familiar with the case of the people who are about to be deported. But they were all eager to emphasize the plight of Bulgaria's Roma minority and the stereotypes it faces.
Not all Roma people steal. Not all Roma people are criminals. And the situation here is this, there are no jobs.
Most of the Roma, who make up about 4% of the Bulgarian population, are unemployed. Only 6% of them graduate from high school. The majority live in ghettos. This makes them the most troubled ethnic minority in Bulgaria. So the upcoming deportation is once again sparking a debate about a more profound issue, the integration of the Roma in Bulgarian society.
On paper, there are a lot of things that has been, let's say, done or planned. So you could say that the government has the willingness to solve the Roma issue. The thing is that most of the measures and the biggest part of the policy only remains on paper.
The Roma minorities of other Eastern and Central European countries face similar problems. The Roma debate has been reignited, but the situation of the people in this neighborhood and in many other impoverished Roma neighborhoods throughout the country remains dire. The government has yet to come up with a full-fledged national plan to integrate these people. Yilda Sarakova, Press TV, Sofia.
Iran increases its defense capability along the coastlines of the Persian Gulf and the Oman Sea by building two new types of speedboats. According to Iran's defense ministry, the two new versions entitled Zulfaghar and Siraj are fully designed and built in Iran by relying on domestic know-how. Press TV's Amir Mahdi Kazemi has all the details.
Another demonstration of power by Iran. The Iranian defense minister has officially inaugurated the mass production line of two types of high-speed missile launching assault boats. Iran's defense ministry says that the new generation of boats have been designed and mobilized by the latest equipment to endure tropical weather conditions and are capable of launching swift action against enemy targets at land and sea.
This is what Iran's defense ministry says is the fastest missile-launching vessel in the world. The Zulfaghar, which is already under mass production, is capable of carrying heavy weaponry and at the same time surfing with speeds twice as much as its prototypes.
The boat is designed for quick assault on enemy ships and is equipped with two missile launchers, two machine guns, and a computer control system. Each one of the two Nasr-1 cruise missiles is said to be capable of destroying targets weighing up to 3,000 tons. Another high-speed vessel is the Siraj, a fast-moving assault rocket launcher, which according to Iran's defense minister uses sophisticated technical equipment for its attack. During his visit of the assembly line, Iran's defense minister cautioned the enemies of Iran not to play with fire.
We won't invade any country and we will extend our hand to all world states, but will give a hard and extensive response to any country willing to play with fire and making logical actions against Iran.
Remarks by Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi comes amid repeated threats by the U.S. and Israel to keep military options against Iran's nuclear energy program on the table. Iran is already grappling with a fourth round of sanctions by the United Nations Security Council and separate sanctions by the U.S. and Europe.
Today,
Now the Islamic Republic is using its domestic potentials in different aspects, including military, to prove that sanctions against it have been futile.
Iran is second to none in the world when it comes to high-speed missile launching vessels. American warships currently have a maximum speed of 31 knots, while Iranian vessels can travel twice as fast on average.
Such projects have their roots in the 8-year Iraq-Iran war. That was when Iran started to build its own weaponry under a Western arms embargo. Only during the past 3 months, the Islamic Republic has unveiled a series of its achievements in the field of defense technology. The latest two versions of Iranian speedboats are soon expected to join the IRGC Navy in the Hormuz Strait. Amir Mehdi Kazemi, Press TV, Tehran.
Iran Prosecutor General says Tehran has suspended three judiciary officials over mistreatment of prisoners in a detention center during last year's post-election events. Ghulam Hossein Mohsen Ejei has confirmed the suspensions are related to mistreatment of detainees at the Kahrizak facility. Several other prison officials are accused of actions which led to at least three deaths there. The prison was shut down immediately after reports of prisoner abuse emerged.
Gaza is still locked in poverty and unemployment. Many Palestinians there are unable to buy basic food and goods. But as Akram al-Sattari reports, Palestinians are still determined to celebrate the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli blockade.
Markets in Gaza are brimming with important consumer goods, but people's pockets remain mostly empty. Unemployment hovers at around 40%, and 4 out of 5 residents rely on foreign aid. The number of people living in abject poverty has risen in the last 2 years from 100,000 to 300,000, according to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in the Occupied Territories.
There are social solidarity campaigns arranged by the local community. The besieged community helps the poor and the needy through cash handouts and free meals.
Israel eased its 4-year blockade of Gaza in June in the wake of its deadly naval attack on Gaza-bound aid fleet. New consumer goods have appeared on the shelves and prices have dropped. But there has been little recovery for the Gaza Strip economy as a whole, which is still largely shut off from the world and unable to export. And according to a new report by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, the number of households in Gaza below the poverty line has reached a historic high of nearly 52%, according to.
Today, some 5,000 families are having free meals, and the number could be over 15,000 by the end of Ramadan.
During the holy month of Ramadan, a lot of needy and distressed families receive a breakfast through community initiatives by individuals and groups.
I have a family of 8 and we came here for the free meal. I'm thankful for those who have provided the food.
Ramadan for many people in Gaza is a good opportunity to share the blessings and express the compassion for the distressed and needy. Akram Saeed Al-Sattari, Press TV, Gaza.
And that was our latest.